flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Let's find out a little bit of information about what's going on with football and what can we learn from the Browns. And Mary Kay Cabot's been down in Mobile. She gets it. She understands it. And she's going to give us the lowdown on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
Good. Now, is it true that they have Reese's Cups all over the place down there when you cover this thing? Is that true or false?
You know what? No, they used to.
Ah.
But I didn't see as many Reese's Cups. Just, I did not eat one Reese's Cup the whole time that I was there.
That is just weak. Well, they need to step up their game.
That's weak. Listen to
I
you.
Know.
I'm
I know.
Disappointed. Disappointed to hear that. All right, Mary Kay, what was your biggest takeaway from covering the Senior Bowl this week?
Well, I think it really was the fact that the Browns are looking hard at all of these different quarterbacks and considering all the different possibilities that can happen for them come draft day. And that includes staying right where they are and taking a quarterback at number two, deciding to go another route at number two and taking a quarterback later. The last day that I was there, I talked to Dylan Gabriel and I talked to Jackson Dart. I'm getting ready to write a Jackson Dart story today. So they are really looking hard at all these guys. And with Bubba coaching the American team, and he had Jackson, he had Riley Leonard, and he had Jalen Milroe. So they got a really, really good look at all of these guys.
Mary Kay, this is all going to come down to evaluation for the Browns and everybody else. Do you think the Browns, and according to most folks, it's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders in whatever order, and then everybody else. Do you think the Browns feel that there's a huge difference between those two guys and some of the guys you just mentioned, and Milroe, Dart, let's throw in McCord and Quinn Ewers and Will Howard? Do you think they think there's a big difference, or do they think that they're similar enough that they might be able to hang on and get a young guy in the third that they might really like?
You know, it's tough to say because everyone is keeping it very, very close to the vest at this time of year. No one is really saying if they have identified a quarterback that they would like to get later, because then they'll mess themselves up on getting that quarterback later. So you don't really want to tip other teams off to what you're thinking right now at all. But there are some other quarterbacks in this draft, I think, that people are going to like in later rounds. And you just never know. I mean, look at Jalen Hurts was picked in the second round, right? So Lamar Jackson was picked number 32 overall. So what some teams think is the best quarterback might not always turn out to be the best quarterback in the NFL. So I don't know if they – I know that just like everyone else, I'm sure that they have Cam and Shador rated number one and number two right now. What I don't know is, do they see someone else that they feel – that they can win with, such as maybe a Jalen Milroe or a Jackson Dart or someone like that at number 33, and then take someone else at number two who can really help your football team. So I think there are a few ways to go about it.
What do you see? What have you thought of Milroe? What have you thought of Dart?
It's tough to say. When I'm intrigued by Jalen Milroe, I am intrigued by him because of the physical traits that he has. He's a very, very big guy. He's very fast. He's got a strong arm. And by all accounts, he's a good, fast processor. So when you have all those things, I think it gives you a lot to work with in a quarterback. And once again, nobody knew what to do with Lamar Jackson back in the day. I talked to Jalen Milroe's private quarterbacks coach, Jordan Palmer, and he said he absolutely thinks that he's worthy of one of those first two picks. And he says if you're a team that thinks that you're willing to commit to him in the same way that the Ravens did to Lamar, he absolutely 100% thinks he would be worthy of one of those picks.
As you're sitting around and you're trying to get a vibe for what the Browns are going to do, and I know we've talked before, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the last time we talked, you thought quarterback at two. Do you have does the scene still look the same for you about what you feel like the organization might do? I know part of it's silly season, but I do you still feel like they're committed to quarterback at two?
I think so. I mean, I think it just is lining up for that. They need a quarterback. They have a high pick. They have an opportunity to get one of the two best quarterbacks in the draft, or maybe even the best quarterback in the draft. And when you have that chance, I think you have to take it. And I don't think they will really overthink it. I think they'll do the same thing. So I think they'll end up signing a veteran. I think they will draft one of these rookies. And I think they will develop him the best they can, surround him with a great support system, and see what they can make of it.
Mary Kay, are you hearing anything about Mary Kay Cabot joining us? Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Senior Bowl. You hearing anything about what Minnesota is going to do? They have three quarterbacks. Two of them are free agents, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, and J.J. McCarthy is sitting there. I would think if they bring back Darnold, they might be interested in moving McCarthy. Are you hearing anything?
Well, I keep hearing from people that they'll probably end up keeping Sam Darnold as well as J.J. McCarthy. So I don't know if they'll be able to do that, but if they do what most people out there think they're going to do, that's what I've been hearing. Now, again, even the Browns don't know which of these veterans are going to become available. One of the only ones that you can kind of count on becoming available is Kirk Cousins, because the Falcons are not going to pay him $10 million, or at least we don't think that they're going to pay him that $10 million that he's owed. But once again, you can never say never. So, you know, you have to look at that and see him as someone that could possibly end up here in a Browns uniform. But as far as the rookies are concerned, I still think that if I had to guess today, I guess I would still say maybe Shador, but I think it could be either Shador or Cam, but I think it'll probably be one of those two guys.
You know, early in the week you reported too that Andrew Berry felt like Deion would have no problem with Shador playing Cleveland. Give me a little bit more on that story, and is that just something Browns fans just don't even need to worry about?
Yeah, it's something that Browns fans don't even need to worry about, because there's no way that Andrew would have said that in that small group setting, which was a really unique opportunity and helped really make that trip worthwhile. That was really nice of him to sit down with me and Zach Jackson, and then Kelsey Russo from the ClevelandBrowns.com was also there. And he really just gave us all the time that we needed, and it was really cool. And I don't think that he would have said that unless he really had it on good authority that Deion is not going to have a problem whatsoever with Shador coming to the Cleveland Browns. So I think that's just one hurdle that they don't have to worry about crossing.
How about some of the other guys Travis Hunter enough to make the Browns think they can fill their quarterback need in another way or next year?
Well, it's a strategy that you would have to at least consider, I think. I think you'd have to, as an organization, put your heads together and have someone who feels that way, who feels strongly about that, to really seriously bring it up and think, you know, throw that out there as a viable possibility and see if you can't just kick it around for a while and see what everybody comes up with. Sure, why not end up with an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter and then think about coming back and getting a Jalen Milroe later or getting a Jackson Dart or a Dylan or a Kyle McCord or someone like that a little bit later and seeing what you can't do. So there are many different ways to go about this. Like I said, I still do think that it will be quarterback at number two, and I still do think it will probably be one of those two guys. But at this point, it's still early. Anything can happen. And part of it might be predicated on what the Titans decide to do at number one, and no one knows that right now.
Hmm. I know you talked about, you know, Bubba being one of the coaches down there. What does that really mean for the Browns, that, you know, to have a guy on the inside and maybe get a little bit of a better feel, even if it was just for a couple days?
Well, it really helped a lot. It was invaluable to have him working so closely with these guys. If they really were going to consider, let's say, for instance, Dart or Jalen Milroe in a little bit of a later round or a later time period than number two overall, they have some great inside intel on how they work, how they accept coaching, what their demeanor is like, what their personalities are like, what, you know, how they go from, you know, maybe a ragged day one day and respond to the corrections the next day. They have all of that from Bubba, and I think it's been tremendous. And he even said that he wishes they could do this every single year, because you have such an inside edge on these guys over teams that are not coaching them so closely. And he is taking this so seriously. I will be writing about that a little bit more too. But he's taking this opportunity very, very seriously.
I read something the other day, and I thought, oh, I don't like that at all. And it said, Pete Carroll in Vegas, new head coach, of course, ran the ball beautifully in Seattle. The perfect running back for him to bring in would be Nick Chubb. And I thought, I don't even want to think about that. Do you think Nick is back with the Browns next year, Mary Kay?
It's possible, but if someone else is willing to take a chance on him and give him the kind of money that maybe the Browns aren't prepared to give him in this coming season, then I do think that there is a world in which he can play somewhere else. And nobody wants to see that. No. Nobody wants to see that. Not even Nick Chubb. He's always said he wants to finish his career here. But he knows it's a business. Everyone knows it's a business. And if something like that happens, then good for him that someone would be willing to see what he can do in his second year out of surgery, because I think he'll be better than the first year out.
Excuse me, Mary Kate. Let's give me something beyond the quarterbacks that really jumped off the page for you the last couple of days. Other position players that you're like, oh, this guy would look good in a Browns uniform if they can get him.
Well, it was actually I thought that the pass rushers were good. I thought that those guys really stood out in this draft. William Green and Peebles and some of the guys, they looked really good. The trenches, I thought, were strong. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen. So, you know, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is there were some pretty good wide receivers there. And Kevin Stefanski was watching the when the wide receivers were warming up kind of with the quarterbacks in early drills, he was really honing in on those guys. And there were a couple from Iowa State that were there that looked really good. And there are some running backs. And, you know, I just thought it was good because they need all of those positions. And once again, you're going to have the inside intel on some of these guys. So I really do think that Bubba is going to be very, very helpful in the evaluation of a lot of these guys.
Mary Kay, as always, I'm disappointed there weren't Reese's Pieces for you, but that's okay. We do appreciate your insight, and we look forward to reading all these stories you have coming out, too, on what you learned at the Pro Bowl as we get even a little bit closer to the draft. Who do you like in the Super Bowl? Just real quick.
Oh, I never bet against Patrick Mahomes. It would be like betting against Tom Brady. So I'm on Team Patrick all the way.
Team Patrick. Thank you, Mary Kay. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, miss.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Make sure you are reading her every day in The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. A roster without Nick Chubb next year if he's able to play. So I let me ask you, how does this thing – I don't want to say how does this thing end, but I just I can't imagine Nick Chubb playing for another team next year. And I can't –
Why? Because your heart doesn't want to see it, or because your head says it's not a good thing?
Two things. One, I got to believe that there's a spot for him on the roster, even if he's capable of playing running back, there's a spot for him – on the Browns running back, to be one of the three running backs on this team. Whether he plays or not, there should be a spot for him if he is able to play running back.
At what price?
Well, that's just it. I mean, do you think someone's going to come in and overpay?
Yes.
For Nick?
I think they could. Their medicals could say, this guy's good to go. Do it. 1 year. Derrick Henry.
Well, if somebody else believes that, I don't know why the Browns wouldn't believe that, too, and they want him to stay on the roster.
Because the Browns have decided it's time to turn the page.
I don't see this front office doing that to Nick Chubb. Like
I hope you're right.
I see that with a lot of other players, and sometimes it's easy to say goodbye to this or to that or to this player. But I really feel like from a PR standpoint and from a dedication standpoint from ownership, I can't imagine that they would let him walk away if it was just a little bit of money. If it's massive and we're all sitting here going, well, they're offering him $10 million to play somewhere else next year for a single season, I think maybe fans could swallow that a little bit better. Or I think ownership could swallow that a little bit better. Guys, look, I mean, here's where we're at, that you guys understand.
Okay.
We're trying to make this a better team, and maybe Nick, maybe it's time. I mean, they're still taking grief over Kareem right now.
Can I do one thing for you?
Sure.
All right, I'm slapping you back to reality. You ready?
Give me the reality.
You have a quarterback who can't play, who you owe gobs and gobs and gobs of money to.
Okay.
That means you're going to have to fill out your roster with more economical choices in certain spots. Good young running back who's healthy, and you don't have to question whether he's healthy and can give you stuff, might be less expensive and a better roster option than doing what we think is right, and I think it's right too.
Mm-hmm.
Giving Nick Chubb the money that we think he deserves, and then keeping your fingers crossed that he can be the Nick Chubb that he was before the second knee injury. I don't like that idea, but I think it's a real possibility.
Okay, ready? You have no loyalty. See you later.
Oh, no.
No, I don't ever want to work for you.
Did you not hear what I said?
Yeah.
I said what you and I would like to see happen. I'm with you.
Right.
I want him back here. I want him back here at a decent salary because I think he's earned it.
And I think he'd be fair to that. I don't think he'd be. Look, last year would have been an easy year for the organization to cut him. They could have cut him last year.
And they gave him a decent salary.
Yes, they did.
Give him the same salary again and bring him back.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
They might not be, Andy, because they have a lot of holes to fill. We've talked about that. If you can draft a running back you really like in the third round who you want to give 210 carries to, and you have Jerome Ford, and you go sign somebody else, and you're spending total on everybody what you would spend on Nick Chubb, that's just the reality of the situation with that Deshaun Watson contract sitting there. Now, can they...
I think you send a bad message if you let him walk for equal money somewhere else. It's a bad message.
Look around the league this last year.
There are certain players on certain teams that
agreed
should...
completely.
Like Joe Thomas, right? Joe could have left.
Pro sports.
Joe could have gone to Denver, but Joe... Although he had no trade, so that probably doesn't work out of that. But I mean, there are just certain players where you go the extra mile for because it's worth it. It's worth it for the organization. It's worth it for anybody that plays for you in the future to say, you know what, man? I know they let that guy go too early, or maybe they should have hung on to that guy, or I don't know what that guy did. But, you know, I've seen it before out of this organization where loyalty matters, where the front office actually has a heart, where ownership says, this is why this guy is staying on this team, and we believe in him. We believe that he has done nothing but great things for our organization, and we need to figure out a way to keep him on the roster. If he can't play, then we should probably sit down and talk about retirement, not to keep a guy on the roster because he can't play. You know what I'm saying? That's the right way to do it. There's a right way to do this, and letting him walk. And I agree with you, Jeff. If somebody comes up with some stupid, silly offer for him, and he wants to take it, then I don't think they should stand in his way for leaving. And I think they should, you know, I don't know. There's just, you know, there's something to be said for loyalty. I had a conversation with somebody the other day just about working at any business. And sometimes you don't even realize that maybe you are underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have somebody who walks through and says, hey, nice job. You know what? You're doing a good job. And we appreciate all you do for us. And sometimes
that was what, 1989 for you?
No, it still exists in some workplaces. I'm sure it does. It has to. But there's something to be said for working for management that walks around and goes, you know what? We really like what you're doing. Thank you for being a part of the team. Why is that so hard? And it costs management nothing to do that.
Jeff in Cleveland just sent me a text and he said, what's a decent salary? Good question.
That is a good question. I don't know.
According to overthecap.com, last year, Nick made, and remember, this was the coming back from injury year. You didn't know what you were going to get. They say $2,275,000.
Okay.
That put him, it looks like, I'm not going to count them all up, 25th, 20th running back salary last year. Highest paid running back, it looks like it's Christian McCaffrey, $19 million a year.
Okay.
You want to go down... Joe Mixon is at 9.8, so just under 10. Derrick Henry made 8. What would be a decent salary for Nick Chubb? I would say somewhere around 5.
Or with the incentives to get to 5.
Yeah, that could be.
I think he was open to that, too.
For instance, Devin Singletary made $5.5 million last year. So I would think if the Browns offered him somewhere around 5 or $6 million, I think that would be fair and gracious. But I don't know if they will.
I don't know if I don't. Does loyalty matter? I guess maybe that's the question there. Does it matter? I think it matters to fans.
It's loyalty, Andy. But you're trying to build a team, and you've got the albatross of the Deshaun contract that you have to work around.
But is it? It's not Nick's fault that they've got that contract.
It doesn't matter.
Frank is in Gates Mills. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I don't want to be a bad guy, but loyalty matters, I guess, in the business world. I don't think loyalty matters so much in the NFL. And the unfortunate realization is that the Browns are really old, and they need to get younger. And if people like Nick Chubb have to be let go for a younger guy, then I'm not opposed to any of the older guys being traded or moved on from. If the end result is younger, longer-term players on the Browns. It's a business. That's how a lot of players look at it, and that's how I'm starting to look at it because that's the way it should be.
And
so,
Frank,
I hate to say it, but...
So the way the Browns looked at Kareem Hunt, same way?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Hindsight 2020, obviously the Browns would have wanted to have Kareem Hunt back, but I think they felt like that he was probably past his useful life as a running back and moved on from him. And they're probably going to draft someone that will be more economical than bringing back Nick Chubb and provide very likely to be more production than Nick will next year. So I said, I'm sorry, but 24 is my favorite number. But
yeah,
move
I
on.
Still don't know. I don't know about the productivity part of it, too, because we're talking about a broken foot compared to what he had before. And, you know, and again, when you look at the injury he had before, you probably said to yourself, look, we're going to have to sit this thing out for a year and, like, kind of get him back up to speed before we'll see what he's worth. You know what I'm saying?
And you don't really have a complete look at, is he back? Is he what he used to be? Because he hurt his foot.
Right.
That might have been the best thing that happened for him health-wise. But, you know, let's just say, and there's some really good running backs who aren't making a ton of money in the NFL. And let's just say the Browns say, you know what, Nick, we would love to have you back. We're going to put you in a rotation with two other guys, and we'd like to pay you $2.5 million. And let's say Pete Carroll says with the Raiders, Nick, you're going to be my main guy. I might have somebody else splitting with you, but there's going to be no rotation. You're my main guy, and we're going to pay you $5.5 million. Well, if you're Nick, you know, you're obligated to yourself to say,
I agree with that.
You know what?
Yeah.
I got to go.
But there's also a part of Nick that's probably saying, it was like, you know what? They didn't have to hang on to me last year. And they knew that this process is going to be a little bit slow. And they know me better than anybody else. And I know them better than anybody else. And you're going to tell me that just taking a flyer on Nick Chubb next year at $2.5, $3, $4, $5 million, you know, taking a flyer isn't going to be better than Pierre Strong or Donta Foreman or Nyheim Hines or John Kelly Jr.? I mean, those guys might not be making the same money that he would be making.
Those guys won't be here next year. They're going to clean that position group out, too.
I agree. So what I'm saying is you can't tell me that he couldn't be – is it not worth the flyer to keep him as even the number three running back and give him the chance to work his way back up through injury? Because we know he's going to work hard. We know that he's going to try to get back on the field. I mean, we're lucky that we saw him on the field at all last year, and I know we wanted a little bit more, but I think we all have a good understanding of how long that rehab process is on what he was doing. And the fact that he was even back on the field last year was just like, wow, I can't believe this.
I think there are guys that are going to get cut, guys who are free agents, who you could get for $2 million, $3 million a year, who are younger, healthier, and I think that's the route they're going to go. And if they bring Nick back with that group and Nick agrees to, all the better. But I think they will either draft somebody like third round,
mm-hmm.
who they earmark as this is going to be our guy, or they'll sign, like, and I've mentioned his name before, Miles Sanders, who was pretty good in Philadelphia, the Penn State running back.
Yep.
He's probably going to get cut in Carolina. He's going to need a gig. He could go to Dallas and be a lead back. You know, that's the kind of guy that might be available to this team, somebody who has lead back potential who suddenly needs a gig.
I don't see any of those guys when I go to the grocery store like I do Nick Chubb every day. Every time I walk
in. Does Nick shop at the same store you do?
No, but his box of cereal is in there every time I walk in. And for a team that only had 3 wins last year, I need something good to talk about. And
is it
something
oats,
good to
or
feel
is it
about.
Like, you know, like a sugary thing like Captain Crunch?
You ever seen a cereal? You need to do a little shopping. Terry's in Canton. Hi, Terry.
How y'all doing today?
What's Terry. Up, man? How are you?
Pretty good, man. I just want to talk a little bit about keeping Nick Chubb, man. I feel like we need to give him another season.
Yep.
As the Giants, how they feel letting Saquon Barkley go.
Oh.
Saquon tore his knee up, came back, didn't play well the next season. Next season, he got traded to the Eagles, and now he's looking like an MVP. You got to give him a chance, man.
He got signed by the Eagles, and it was $12.5 million a year. Nick's not getting that. Terry, I'm with you. I would love to see Nick back here. And if anybody can come back from the injuries that he had, it's Nick. But I would understand if the Browns made what they thought was a business decision here based on some other things they have to pay Deshaun Watson and went younger running back.
They should keep him at the same salary. I don't think he should get too much more money. But if we can keep him where he at now, I think we should keep him on the team.
Fair enough. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it.
But see, Nick is thinking, I'm like 30. I need to make as much money as I possibly can.
Is he thinking that? You're saying he's thinking that. Now, you don't know what he's
thinking.
Okay,
let me rephrase that.
Yes.
You know damn well his agent is.
Okay, fair enough. Now, that was truthful. I'll buy into that. 216-474-0092. Should we be reading into Vegas on what the Browns might do at number two? We'll explain next.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were looking at this. Jeff, I don't know if you caught this conversation before during our pre-show meeting. So if this is hitting you over the head, sorry about that. Dan and I were talking about FanDuel has odds for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And can we read into this? Dan, what are FanDuel's odds for the first pick in the draft?
You have them in
front
of you.
I was trying to get you in the conversation.
I don't have them in front of me.
I thought you had a rundown.
Why don't you read what's in front of you?
All right. I'll read what's
in front of you. Not to mention I don't have that sponsorship, which is why it's good for the both of you.
Stop it. I was trying to get you involved in the conversation.
There's a real valid,
the beauty of this show is the three of us.
Valid point.
Is that this is a we approach our show as a team, don't we? This isn't about one giant ego on the show. This isn't about two giant egos. This is about three idiot opinions. Okay, so let's be sure that we
when this thing
yes,
when this thing goes bye bye, we might not talk to each other even more than once a year.
I don't even know, dude. I will lose your number immediately.
Dan McCormick,
remember that?
Dan Metcalf. No, what's his name?
All right, so FanDuel says the first pick in the draft, Cam Ward going off at 1-1.
To whom? Or doesn't it say?
Odds for the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to go 1-1?
So Cam Ward has, you know, the best odds.
That does not surprise me at all.
So do you want to – well, you have this in front of you, so I'm not going to
surprise
you.
No, I don't.
You don't have a rundown in front of you?
I have a rundown.
Travis Hunter is going off at +220.
Come on, man.
Man, this is worse.
Both of you equally.
I do too. This is worse than our morning meeting. By the way, can you guys believe we're up at 5:00 in the morning discussing what we're going to be talking about at 11:42? Yeah, I don't believe it either. Travis Hunter +220. Abdul Carter +240, and then Shedeur Sanders at +800. So if you were looking at it odds wise, Shedeur Sanders is fourth. Does Vegas know something that we don't? That's the question.
Did Vegas watch tape?
So I always wonder when we talk about FanDuel or Vegas in this instance, are they setting their odds based on the way people are betting or what they believe to be true or what's going to happen?
You know what the odds are, right? Let's try to figure out how we can get the most people to wager on this. That's what odds are. That's what this is all about.
Right.
That's what point spreads are about. That's what it's all about. Let's try to attract the most action we can. We legalize it. It's good to go. That's what they do. But I also think that it might be somewhat telling. You know, if they watch tape, and we've been going over quarterbacks, right? I thought Shedeur Sanders looked like a guy who can play in the league. Probably for a long time. Probably pretty well.
But did he look like the number two pick?
He didn't look as good as Cam Ward. At least from an intriguing standpoint. You know, of all the guys that we've looked at and talked about, Cam Ward is the one guy that I thought, gosh, that looks that looks like it might be worth taking a chance on. You know, I thought Brett Favre. When I watched Cam Ward, I thought, that's the same style of quarterback. I wonder if anybody else thinks the same thing. And I Googled Brett Favre, Cam Ward. Boom, all kinds of comparisons pop up. So I wasn't off base. At least I wasn't the only guy thinking it. And I can see where he's the odds-on favorite to go number one right now.
Do you buy into this, though? So this, I mean,
oh,
if
I don't
it,
know.
If
I think
it
it's
was,
fun, Andy. I think it's real fun.
I do, too. But if you wanted to look at this, right?
If he didn't play quarterback, he wouldn't be the number one pick. Travis Hunter would. Wouldn't he? Travis Hunter is a two-way player, supposedly, who can... Some people think he could be a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver. Some think he's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber corner. Some think he's going to be both. Well, why wouldn't you take that guy? Because he doesn't play quarterback. That's
right.
Why.
Yeah, it's because he's not.
Right.
Because he doesn't play. I agree with that. But if you look at it based on just the pure notion of the betting scale, Cam Ward goes to Tennessee. Travis Hunter goes to the Browns.
And by the way, Tennessee,
Abdul
of course,
Carter goes
needs a quarterback.
To the Giants. I mean, they need a quarterback, though, too.
Right.
And then Shedeur Sanders would go to...
The Raiders at 6.
Well, not according to this. This would be 4. I mean, you would say that,
well, that doesn't
Texas
mean,
isn't going to take
that
him.
That doesn't
you know?
Mean, yeah. I mean, why would they
I meant
take
that,
him?
The Patriots.
Why would they well, take maybe. Him? They have Drake May.
Yeah. So I look at it and I'm just kind of wondering. You know, does, I look at this.
This
and,
isn't slotting. You know, it's
no. The part of this that I think is really fascinating is the fact that you've got Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter basically going off a 2-1,
who both look like incredible NFL talents.
Right. Which, from what we have heard, especially in this draft, the quarterback sitting there at 1-1 going to Tennessee makes me feel like Vegas might know something and is starting to hedge their bets. That's the reason that I'm thinking, is because you're right. The idea is to get action on both sides of the line. But the other part of this is to make sure you are covered as well. So if you put the odds that close, you're not taking a bath if something else is coming. So like if you thought for any reason off the beaten path, if you thought it was slam dunk, you wouldn't have those three guys as close as you do. That's the part of it that I think is so fascinating, is that you've got a defensive end, you've got a wide receiver / cornerback / unbelievable athlete.
Whatever he's going to be.
Right, / amazing player who makes your team better immediately.
What he's going to be is an NFL player for 10 years.
Right, and please do not take that as any kind of slight, because I am a huge, huge fan of what Travis Hunter can do. At a quarterback, and it's all that close. That's typically not how Vegas does these things, mm-hmm. which is why I think this is so unbelievably fascinating, and it makes me think that we don't know what the hell is going on, and we don't know where this is going to go.
You know,
even Vegas doesn't know.
It's a real strange draft because there is no consensus number one guy. You know, if you drafted the quarterbacks based on where they would actually rank on prospects, you see these guys, some of them in the top 10, but you also see some of them dropping way down. You know, if they weren't quarterbacks, they might go 15, they might go 20.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, what does Vegas think the Browns are going to do? Can we read into that?
They didn't have odds for number two. So I can't help you on that one. I couldn't find odds for number two. Could only find odds for the first overall pick. I am sure we will get those down the road, but for right now, we couldn't have those odds.
Plus, remember, just because they have odds for the number two pick doesn't mean they have the Browns making that pick. Keep hearing about the Raiders.
That's true.
Raiders want Shedeur Sanders. That's what you keep reading.
We've never really talked about that. Would you be good if the Browns traded? I would want more than just flopping the six. Like, what are we getting for the 6 and the 2? We're getting their first-round pick next year? Is that enough?
Oh, that was one thing I saw. It was they would get the 6th pick, they would get a first next year, and like a second this year. In other words, Andy, ammunition to try and get Arch Manning the next year.
And then what, draft a quarterback a little bit later, maybe 103 or somewhere?
Why draft one at all?
Well, I still think there's nothing wrong with having a young quarterback in the system. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Zach Wilson will fit right in. The problem with this whole situation is, whatever you want, we Mary Kay said, I see them drafting a quarterback at 2 and signing a veteran. Oh, we've already been going over them. We have more to go. There are a plethora of veterans out there. Anytime you can get to use the word plethora, it's a good thing, too.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
There are a plethora of quarterbacks out there who have been in the league and have had some level of success. Great. So you'll get one. Then there are a plethora of guys who, you're going to the discount store and hoping to find somebody's used T-shirt that's a Rolling Stones T-shirt that you absolutely love. And you're going to buy it for 50 cents. And then you're going to wear it, and people are going to go, man, that's a great shirt.
Oh, vintage.
And those guys are named Trey Lance and Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. Although I think Fields is up ahead of those two other guys. I mean, Andy, there are so many different guys out there. It's silly this go-around. I texted a buddy of mine today because he asked me, he just said, do you think Travis Hunter to the Browns at 2? I said, I could see that.
I can see it too.
If they don't like one of these two quarterbacks. And I said, scenario that I think is really, really intriguing, and I've said it. It's the one I keep going back to. And I asked Mary Kay, and she wasn't sure. You know, she thinks that the Browns have Ward and Sanders as their top two quarterbacks in whatever order. But then she's not sure how much of a difference there is between those two guys and the next guys. You know, go watch some Jackson Dart video, folks. He was fun. He was fun to watch. Go watch Jalen Milroe. Oh, my God, can he run? Can't throw very well now. Doesn't mean he can't. If the Browns happen to like one of these guys, go sign. I'm just throwing out this name as the generic veteran. Go sign Carson Wentz. Bring him in. And then tell Zach Wilson that he can come in and compete for the job. And then go draft Jackson Dart in the second round. Oh, my goodness. Are we going to have things to talk about for months?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that quarterback room, Andy?
Yeah.
There, I used room.
Okay, so who's in your room?
I just...
Give me your room again.
You could pick out multiple guys. I just threw out Carson Wentz. Is that who I said?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson and Jackson Dart. Make me even happier. Carson Wentz, Trey Lance, we get the North Dakota State reunion.
Is Deshaun allowed
and Jackson Dart.
Is Deshaun allowed to come around after rehab?
I don't know.
Say hi to the boys?
Is he bringing lunch?
Is he hanging out with the team?
Is he bringing lunch?
The more, and Mary Kay said something again this morning.
Wouldn't that be fun? Carson, job's there to win. We're going to pay you $10 million this year. You're getting it regardless whether you win it or not.
Right.
But there. Or Daniel Jones. Or Kirk Cousins. Or, you know, whatever veteran you want.
Well, Mary Kay made me think a little bit more towards Kirk Cousins. I don't know why. It feels like that's the path of least resistance. Does that sound right?
You know, the one thing that I keep going back to, and I forget the exact... No, I remember it now. Tommy Rees, in his press conference, said one of the big things for a quarterback now is to create and extend plays. I don't know why that is stuck in my head, because the minute he said that, I thought, well, that doesn't mean torn Achilles Kirk Cousins. Does it?
I don't know. Does that say to you an mature, experienced quarterback that can be your offensive coordinator after they say hike?
It, to me, I thought, well, that screams Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz.
May I give you mild pushback on that you'll throw something at me?
No.
Good.
Well,
yeah,
no,
I want to see. What does he have
over this,
there?
To me,
because
people don't like talking about quarterback. I love this stuff.
Jeff has a shaving cream
pie
over
fun.
There.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm waiting for it. Extend plays isn't just can run around in the back. Extend
it also
plays
means staying and hanging in the pocket.
Exactly.
Oh,
it means
no,
that
I,
you can dance a little
I,
to the right, dance
I
a little
that.
To the left, step up in the pocket, and
I
all that
get
stuff.
That.
Like Matthew Stafford does a really nice job extending plays.
I think Casey and the Sunshine Band wrote that song too.
If Matthew Stafford becomes available from the Rams, I'll go to the airport to pick him up.
Same here. But, like, that's not the – I'm just using him as the example.
Right.
Like, he is not a guy that any of us would call mobile, but he does a great job extending
plays. Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins, if he can move maybe a year off of the torn Achilles, does a really nice job doing exactly that, stepping up in the pocket, little right, little left, but being able – but
you would never call him mobile. Honestly, when he said create plays and extend and everything, I thought, well, that to me kind of screams Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. See, that's the thing, Andy.
If you trade out, you're not going to get him. Probably not, because someone's coming up.
But you know what? I watched Jackson Dart video, and I thought, God, this guy looks fun. This guy looks intriguing. And Milroe runs the football better than any quarterback that I've seen in years. Oh my! He looked like a fullback. I just think there are so many options here. Yes, you can still go wrong, but there are a lot of options. A lot of them.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about... We'll get into the Browns because he's a huge Browns fan. And let's get a feel for what's going on with the hot stove, too. Brian Anderson, former Indians pitcher, is going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092.